This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope you got your brackets ready because it's time for the big reveal of the final region. It's...
This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is GOAT Madness.
Larry,
yes.
We are down to our final 16 spots.
Yes.
We are down to our final number one seed.
Oh.
Who could it be? So many qualified people, so many qualified candidates, but let's get right to it. And
yes.
Really, and before I reveal it, I just want to say, when it comes to the number one seeds or the seeding overall, there is a selection committee, a secret selection committee behind the scenes. I compile all their votes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it comes down to, in your area, is there anybody else who can make the argument that they are close to the other person? Or is it one person stands alone? And I think when you view it through that prism, this next number one seed, it's really hard to debate his qualifications. As the final number one seed of GOAT Madness, it is... We don't have any lyrics from Jay-Z?
Wow.
Are we not allowed to play lyrics from Jay-Z?
No, we're trying to stay on the air here, Gordon. Come on.
Well, he's got to have some snippet. We played Richard Pryor. I would think that we'd be able to find a snippet from Jay-Z some point. Yes, our final number one seed is Jay-Z. He will be going up against... This is probably going to surprise most.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably not one that most people would think of. This is a little bit inside radio.
Oh, okay.
But this one, to me, it's been mentioned by not just me. It's amazing the job he does on this specific thing. And it is the number 16 seed.
Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com.
Peter Rosenberg's BetterHelp reads. I listen to those. I think about, you know what? Maybe I do need to talk to somebody. I don't think I need to talk to somebody at any other time, but he makes it so compelling. He is, those reads, he does great reads all the time.
Yes, he does.
But those reads are the best reads. And he is the GOAT of commercial reads when it comes to his BetterHelp reads. So our first matchup in region number four, Larry, Jay-Z against Peter Rosenberg's BetterHelp reads.
Wow, that's going to be interesting.
We're moving on to the 8-9, a little bit more traditional here. The number 8 seed is...
There is one thing you and I always did every day before every game. So I'm going to ask you to do it on three... so they can hear it all the way to Houston. All right. One, two, three. It's time for Dodger baseball. Good night.
Wow.
I love you.
All right, there it is, of course, the great Vin Scully. He'll be going up against the great number 9 seed, who is...
And Kareem with the skyline.
Chicago found Kareem Abdul-Jabbar virtually unstoppable.
That takes care of that. That's 11 points now for Kareem tonight.
When you say the big man, you're talking about only one man.
And that, of course, would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, talk about a basketball life. superstar in high school, superstar in college, superstar in the NBA. He is your number 9 seed.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, moving on. The 5-12 matchup. Our number 5 seed, Larry, is...
Right here, you got to beat Ric Flair one more time. Remember, Steamboat? And, pal, I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Yes, but is he the GOAT? That's the question, Larry. Oh, Ric Flair, our number 5 seed. Styles make fights, Larry.
Yes, they do.
The number 12 is...
Wow.
Whitney Houston.
Wow.
I can see when she sang the national anthem that time, Larry. I see that clip even now.
Yeah.
I still get the chills. When she brings it home at the end.
Yeah.
For my money, no better female singer ever. Mm. The great Whitney Houston. All right, so we're on to the 4-13 matchup. Well, this one, the tournament would like to schedule this a little further down the line. We do it right in the opening round, Larry. Mm-hmm. The number 4 seed is...
First hole of the playoff, Tiger Woods versus birdie.
Oh, he's running after it. He ran after it. He got there before the ball did. I don't believe it. How about that one? No, she didn't do that.
Yes, Tiger Woods, of course, the number 4 seed. He'll go up against the number 13, Larry.
Maybe.
That would be Jack Nicklaus. Not the. I believe that was a TV call, not a radio call. There was not a painting of the word picture there.
No, that was Jack Nicklaus. Not at all.
He played so long ago, it was before they had words, apparently. All right, Larry, moving on. The 6 versus the 11. The number 6 seed is.
Game, set, match. Djokovic. Three sets to love. 6-3, 7-6, 6-3.
Novak Djokovic reclaims his crown in New York. And reaches his 24th major championship.
Absolutely incredible. The Joker, he'll go up against the number 11 seed.
And we don't have a magic formula. We don't go into a lab and conjure up and mix up things and come out with young Frankenstein. We don't have that. We don't have that. So unless you're in our locker room every day, and unless you're at practice every day, and unless you go through what these kids go through every day and put up with what they put up with every day from us as a coaching staff, it's impossible to explain.
Mm. All right, that would be Gino Auriemma, mentioned last night by Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. This is a very difficult matchup, this next one, Larry. I don't get a good feeling about it.
All right.
The number 3 seed is...
Ted, I'm leaving you. Ted. Keys. Here are my keys. Here's my American Express card. Here's my Bloomingdale's credit card. Here's my checkbook. I've taken $2,000 out of our savings account because that's what I had in the bank when we first got married.
Was this some kind of joke?
Here's the cleaning. Here's the laundry ticket. You can pick them both up on Saturday. You.
All right, that's Meryl Streep.
Yes.
No better female actress, right, than Meryl Streep. She's the number 3 seed, Larry. I don't get a good feeling. This, you talk about a tough draw.
Yeah.
The number 14 seed is.
The New York Giants, first round selection. Lawrence Taylor, linebacker, North Carolina. Ooh.
Yeah, she's going up against LT.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the greatest defensive weapon of all time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ask Bill Belichick what he thinks about LT. He's only the number 14 seed.
Wow.
I thought we're going to go after him like a pack of wild dogs. That's the clip I was hoping for, but I guess it's better than Pele. Yes. All right, Larry, the 7-10.
Mm-hmm.
This next one, there are stars, and then there are megastars, and then there's this guy. The number 7 seed is... You can't handle the truth, Larry. It's Tom Cruise, the ultimate movie star. No movie star has been more bankable as a movie star in our lives, in anyone's life, than Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go up against the number 10 seed, who is...
I have never worked a day in my life.
I went from player to coach to a broadcaster, and I am the luckiest guy in the world.
The great John Madden, who's made a bigger impact on broadcasting, sports broadcasting.
Video games.
He was a great coach, great all-time, great winning percentage all-time. Mm-hmm. Goes into broadcasting, revolutionizes it. So that's your second-to-last matchup. Our final matchup, the number two seed, Larry, is...
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm going to stick to his butt like white on rice.
That's right.
That was the greatest of all time.
We got more rhymes from Muhammad Ali than we did from Jay-Z in this clip.
That's right.
But then, of course, he is the number two seed. He'll go up against the guy who, if we do this 10 years from now, Larry, he might have a higher seed. But right now, he's the number 15. He is...
They shift out of a shotgun. Sidecar position right, Damian Williams, Mahomes. Scrambling to the right side. Holding it, pump faking, diving for the far front pylon. Does he have it? Touchdown! Kansas City, Mahomes runs it in.
Yes, only a 15 seed left.
Wow.
What a grouping of just superstars this is. Patrick Mahomes, our final reveal, our final region in GOAT Madness, and voting is now open.
At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY, 98_7 FM, vote early, vote often. Here's some interesting results from last night too, Gordon. There's a really close matchup in the one last night. So, you know, if you
this is not the K-Show where they're getting 5,000 votes.
No.
If you get you and your burner accounts involved, there's a very good chance you could change history.
That's right. There's no question about it. No question about it. Just ask a couple of folks from last night.
Serena Williams went down 51-49.
Close.
Right. Stone Cold Steve Austin had his hands full.
Yes, he did.
I'll just leave that there.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Very curious to see. I haven't looked yet, but, you know, a little bit I'll check out to see what the early voting looks like. But I'm very curious. You know,
some surprising results early on, Larry.
I'm sure.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but.
Nope. Don't say anything. I'll check it out. Right now, let's check out Tommy in Connecticut. He's next on 98.7.
Good evening, my friends. How we doing?
We're good, Tommy. What you got, man?
So I just want to talk about the Yankees real quick. Obviously, typical Yankee fashion, you know, we're going into the regular season like the walking wounded already. But with Cole's arm, which scares me to death, I think it's time that they have to go get Trevor Bauer. You got to do it. Cashman has to put on his Breaking Bad hat and say no more half measures and just go get it done.
I would not get your hopes up there. I am of the belief that while it might not be announced, it might not be something that's written down, that Trevor Bauer is not getting picked up by anybody. Now, that might be because the behind the scenes there is some ban in place from Major League Baseball. Maybe it's these teams have information that we at the public don't have, even though he was I don't know what the right word. He escaped any judgment in the one case that we know about, but there's very possible that other things are behind the scenes and teams know more than we do. And then you have the added thing that him and Cole are like mortal enemies. They don't like each other. And obviously the Yankees are Cole is he's not the captain, but he's almost like he's part of the trio that, you know, or him and Judge are like the co-captains practically.
Mm-hmm.
He's as close to a captain as you can be without being a captain. He's like the captain of the pitching staff.
You're right.
So you're right. I don't think that that's an avenue that they're going to go down. Now, to me, without having the knowledge the teams have, Larry, I'm just myself, I'd like to see everybody get a second chance if that's available to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand teams being a little leery considering what some of the – and let's be honest, Trevor Bauer was always kind of out there kind of guy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that I could foresee that coming, which came up, but I would not be I would not be going out to the Yankee store and buying a Trevor Bauer jersey anytime soon.
Look, Gordon, let's just be honest. Owners are not the most. I'm not going to disparage them, but there are a lot of owners who are not people who think on the moral high ground. Mm-hmm. They're about winning. Okay.
Right.
And as bad as teams need pitching, nobody has asked. Nobody is getting him.
Right.
Something's up, Gordon. There's something up. There's no question about it. Either, as you said, it's either understood. It's not officially collusion, because then you know the Players Association will be jumping up and down. But something's going on, because there's a lot of people that need pitching. And the one thing we know, he's crazy. He can pitch.
He can pitch. And keep in mind, the Yankees are not an organization that is clean on this with other moves that they've made, from Domingo Germán and the way mm-hmm. that was handled, and Aroldis Chapman before he got here. So I just know, if I were running an organization and I made the decision to bring in Trevor Bauer and sign him to a contract every single day, I would feel like I'm waking up and wondering, is today the day where something comes up?
You're reaching for your phone with your eyes closed, like, oh my God, what am I going to see?
I hope it's not today. I hope it never comes. I hope it's not today, but
that's the way it is. That's what you're looking at.
You get no break if you sign that guy and something else pops up. You knew the deal when you made the deal.
So now, Gordon, but I am curious, and Tommy makes a great point, and so I'm also curious, because the Mets are in really the same situation as the Yankees are. What's the next move pitching-wise then? Because we know what Cashman's going to do, right? Cashman's going to wait till the trade deadline, and he'll go find somebody. If you can't get a pitcher, starting pitcher now, he'll try to go find somebody at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's he going to find? Who's going to be out there? I mean, this is scary stuff.
Yeah, I think the one that people keep their eye on is Bieber with the Guardians, with Cleveland, because of his relationship with the pitching coach, and it seems like the Guardians might be moving some salary around, and he might be available, but you have to see if he's healthy. If there's a big move to be made, I don't know that there's odds on it anywhere, but if there were odds, I would think that Bieber would probably be the number one guy.
All right, now, just because he's close to the pitching coach, does that mean he can play in New York?
I have no idea.
That's the wild card about this too, Gordon. I mean, you know, and I don't know how you ever figure it out, but at some point in time, even though I was born in North Carolina, I've lived most of my life in New York. It's different here, Gordon.
Yep.
It's different. Okay, not just because I've been here, but it is. It's just different. And every athlete can't cut it here. They can. And there's been a number of guys on both franchises. In sports.
And the Yankees have collected them. Right?
The Yankees have collected a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It just can't hack it here.
Yeah, Joey Gallo, certainly. Sonny Gray was one of them.
Oh.
You can go back to the days of Ed Whitson. He was the poster child for operate in New York. So, look, you know how the Yankees are going to go about this. They weren't going to sign somebody. It was clear that they were not. They had their money to spend. They turned the page when what's his name?
I'm sorry,
I can't think of the guy's name now. But when they went with Marcus Stroman,
right,
that was their money allotted for Blake Snell, right?
When
Blake Snell turned them down and they went with Marcus Stroman, that was the direction they were going, and they weren't going back to Blake Snell. There might have been some talks, and maybe if they could have struck a real bargain, maybe they might have.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to let this play out. They apparently like, I'm sure, some of the kids that they have that they think that they can kind of hold down the fort. Mm-hmm. It will depend on what Cole's situation looks like in a month. Is he close to coming back?
Mm-hmm.
If he is, well, then maybe they don't have to make any additions. If he's not close to coming back, or is the team in the mix, or have the Orioles and the Blue Jays and the Rays all raced out to a huge lead and the Yankees are floundering under 500? I think it's going to depend on what the situation looks like as the season goes along.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how this goes pitching-wise, because, Gordon, I don't care who you are, you never have enough pitching. You never have enough.
The Yankees certainly don't have enough.
Somebody is going to get hurt in your rotation, and you are not going to have enough pitching.
That might be the safest bet anybody could ever make. Somebody is going to get hurt in the Yankee rotation. No question about it. They already have.
Yeah, exactly.
And even before the Gerrit Cole news, it didn't feel like the Yankees approached the offseason in terms of adding to the pitching in the right way. So when you already felt like that, and then you lose the reigning American League Cy Young, that's a big hole to fill.
It is. It is. But, you know, the Yankees will come up with something. They will. And, you know, while we're talking about Gerrit Cole, I still don't know what's going on with Cole Dicenga. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got, I have a lot of respect for Pat Ragazzo. Does a great job covering Mets and Yankees for Sports Illustrated. But, Gordon, the back end of that Met rotation, 3, 4, and 5, doesn't exactly make me jump up and down. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You know, as a fan, you always find something that you complain about. It's not the offense. Now, what can I say, Gordon? I can't say anything about the offense. They went out, they got J.D. Martinez. They did what they had to do, okay? Marte looks good in spring training. We'll see what happens when he has to play for real starting this weekend.
Right, right. You know, best shape we'll of see. His life.
Yeah, we'll see. So,
I mean, you know. Can I just say one other thing about how stupid Major League Baseball is?
Mm-hmm.
They open up that series in Seoul.
Yes.
With the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yes.
And now the Dodgers are back playing spring training games.
That's right.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Not in the least. Not in the least.
I mean, have you ever heard something so stupid in your life? Hey, you're going to leave spring training. We're going to open up the season where we can shroud it as much as possible. That most the casual baseball fan won't even know these games are going on and they're actually regular season games.
Right.
And then we'll have the Dodgers come back. I don't know. Did the Padres? I'm assuming the Padres also played spring training games. I didn't see it today, but I will have both teams play some more spring training games, and then we'll open the season again.
Absolutely.
What a job. What a job they do in that Major League Baseball offices.
It's a no-brainer to do it that way. It's a no-brainer, Gordon.
Maybe we can go back. Maybe if we don't like how things are going in the first week, we'll start spring training over again.
Start over again.
Why don't we go back to pitchers and catchers?
Well, why not? You know, I mean, why don't they just do what they used to do? Day before everybody else. First pitch in Cincinnati, we're good. We're good.
Well, I guess Cincinnati is not going to pay them as much as Seoul, Korea will.
Well, then I guess there's going to be games in Saudi Arabia soon because I hear there's a lot of money over there, Gordon.
they'll take it in a heartbeat, and they'll explain it away like the best of them. Hopefully they do a better job of explaining than Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani's got a good gig, man.
Yes, he does.
He's in the center of the biggest current scandal in sports.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up with a cockamamie story that nobody believes.
Right.
He holds a press conference where he says, oh, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
Does not take a
single question, and then just leaves.
Yep, that's it. He made a statement, and he
walked away. Wow, that is good, man.
You know?
That's good gig. That's good work if you can get it.
Hey, I wonder how much this interpreter's taken.
It's amazing. Well, who knows how much he's taken, right? He might have access to the bank codes as well. Maybe he's wiring himself $500,000 every couple of months.
Could be.
His private piggy bank.
Because I wouldn't think that you would just... This is somebody he has known for a while. He didn't just hire this person yesterday.
Well, I think this guy's with the Dodger organization.
Mm-hmm.
But to think... The tale that they're telling is that the interpreter was so devious...
Yes.
That he was able to not only steal money from Ohtani, but he was able to tell the people who understand Japanese one thing and the people who don't understand Japanese something else. He's like a master criminal.
He is.
If that was the script of a movie, you sat down and Mel Gibson came up with a new movie and this was the script where the translator, Larry, he was able to tell one group of people, nobody in the Japanese group spoke English,
right?
And nobody in the English group spoke Japanese, and he was able to just steal his way to a fortune.
Yeah,
$4.5 million.
Yeah, that
makes sense.
That's Mission Impossible 7.
Why would anybody have any questions about that?
No, not at all.
Not at all. No, makes perfect sense. Tom Cruise is going to play the interpreter in the movie.
No, not this one. Tom Cruise. He's going to play Ohtani in this one.
You think?
Yeah,
I think he's a little old for Ohtani. No,
well, you know. They'll do the same thing they did, what, in the movie where they made, I can't think of the actor's name, legendary actor. They made him younger.
Oh, De Niro?
The Irishman. In the
yeah,
Irishman.
Oh, The Irishman. Oh, yeah. Yeah, who can forget the Irishman?
Yeah, you know, they'll do
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he looked like a robot. He looked like a robot made of wood. It was so preposterous.
It was so bad.
You couldn't watch it and not think to yourself, what the hell am I doing with my life? It looks so bad.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon, I just took a quick peek at some of the early voting. Wow. That's all I'm going to say. Wow.
And look, if you don't make your voice heard, you don't get to complain, right?
That's right.
So you have to go vote.
Yes.
The goat is in your hands. Who this mm-hmm. person or man, woman, thing turns out to be, it's all up to you.
That's it. It's fascinating. Oh, it's fascinating. This is the toughest bracket.
You think so?
Yeah, this is a real tough bracket. This is a real tough bracket. Really good matchups in this bracket. This is the competitive bracket here.
It was a very challenging task to kind of put these all in the right place. Make sure you're not leaving anybody out.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people that are the goats of a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best part. See, I think when we first mentioned this, a lot of people thought it was just going to be, it's going to be sports related.
No, that makes it no fun. We have those conversations all the time. You got to throw all the other things in there.
Yeah, that's it. Let's head back to the phones. Mike is in Hoboken. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think everyone's asking the wrong questions right now about this Ohtani Ippy situation. I think you have to ask one question, and that's, where's Ippy right now? If you admit to stealing $4.5 million and your accuser says, I have no idea what happened, he stole all the money, this guy would immediately be arraigned in L.A. County right now. Where's Ippy? That's the question. This guy is looking down the barrel of 5 to 10 years. I don't know if he understands what's going on right now, unless he gets extradited to Japan right away and they truly sweep everything under the rug. But right now, if you find Ippy, I think you find a lot more answers.
Mike, Ippy has got a fake passport and he is living in Tahiti with a ton of money right now. He's got his face lifted, face changed, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He's a totally different person. And his English is unbelievable.
Well, I'll say this. There was a lot of articles originally about who is Ippy Mizuhara.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the question, where is Ippy Mizuhara?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It
right?
is.
Right? Here's a guy who is alleged to have stolen $4.5 million
mm-hmm.
from one of the biggest stars that we have in the country.
Yep.
He's just walking the streets free?
Chilling.
No charges have been filed as of yet?
No,
nothing?
No.
Nobody's talking to him?
Nope. We don't even know where he is. Who is he? What's his name again?
Let's put it out there. There's a lot of questions
that need
to be answered.
There's tons of questions out there. Tons. I'm just happy he's not a Met.
I will say this. I think that it's just probably just as well he's not a Met. Or certainly not a Yankee.
Yeah, I'm just
happy. I don't know that this would necessarily fly if that were the case.
No.
Now, once the season starts and he's hitting home runs and playing great, I'm sure that a lot of this will fade, but...
What happens if he gets off to a slow start, though? He's struggling. You know, he's not hitting well. He's struggling, with all the pressure. Now he's in L.A.,
maybe they'll go back to spring training again. Maybe they'll have
maybe
a return to spring training like we got right now.
Yeah, maybe. You know, Gordon, we're about what? 3 weeks, 4 weeks away from the draft?
I think it's just under a month. I think it's 29 days. But who's counting?
So we've had a lot of discussion, Gordon, about the Giants in the draft.
Yeah.
And will they take a quarterback? What will they do at number six? Now, our resident general manager, one Mike Tannenbaum, I was looking him up, and I wanted to see just what he had them doing in the with their pick at number six.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon, what he has them doing, he does not have them taking a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He has them taking a wide receiver.
Right.
Malik Nabers out of LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning on DNR, Jordan Renan, who does a fabulous job covering the Giants for us, reiterated that, you know what? The Giants may not be able to take a quarterback.
I think they would like to draft a quarterback, but I don't know if that's really an option. It's becoming more and more difficult to see that being an option because the top three teams at the top either A, want a quarterback, or if they trade out, they're going to want a huge ransom for their pick. And then you have the Vikings kind of lingering of, you know, that to possibly move up to number four or jump the Giants. And the Giants don't have a lot of draft capital. So I'm going to say wide receiver because I think the top four picks are going to end up being quarterbacks here. And I don't think the Giants are in position. They don't have enough draft capital. They only have six picks. There's only two teams with fewer draft picks than the Giants this year. They're a team that's in need of a rebuild. So to use a lot of draft capital to even move up and get a quarterback, I don't know if I see that happening at this point, even though I think they would probably prefer to draft one of the quarterbacks. But I don't know if one of them is going to be there for them at six.
Now, Mel Kiper Jr. on the First Draft podcast says the Giants, yeah, they really have a tough decision as to whether they're going to take a quarterback or not.
You're putting Daniel Jones in a rough spot going into this year without a go-to receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver, Daniel, since 2018, right? At 6 years, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver. Giants last since Daniel Jones came into the league in explosive pass plays. They don't have that Malik Nabers, who's the most explosive receiver in this draft. You don't look at a Romo Dunze, steady, reliable, consistent. That's assuming Marvin Harrison Jr., who's outstanding, is gone. So you're going to pass on two elite receivers that you desperately need and have not had to take a guy who could be the heir apparent or challenge Daniel Jones.
Where do you weigh in on this, Gordon?
Well, look, I think that the best approach for the Giants or the best scenario for the Giants would be if one of the quarterbacks is still available at six, not for the Giants to take, to allow another team to move up to the Giants spot and the Giants to recoup some picks and really start this rebuild right. It doesn't matter if they have a quarterback with all the other holes that they have, and the chances of them filling all those holes in this offseason are pretty remote. The problem is it doesn't appear like that's going to be a possibility because J.J. McCarthy, his odds to go number two overall, Larry, are now like plus 170.
Wow.
So he might not even last until four. He might not last until three. He might be the second pick to Washington, so who knows? So if the four quarterbacks are off the board, the only problem I would have with what Mike Tannenbaum has, he has them taking Nabers at six while Marvin Harrison Jr. is still on the board.
Yeah, he likes now, Nabers better than Harrison Jr. I don't understand why.
I'll just say this. He might be right down the road on draft night. Giant fans would riot.
Yeah, no question. And with great reason, because you've seen, you know, you've seen
those Ohio State receivers. It's like a factory. They're just producing them every single year. And he seems to be the best of the bunch.
Yeah, that's right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, Mel, how would the Giants replace Saquon Barkley? What are they going to do there?
Devin Singletary's there, right? Yeah, Brian Daboll had him in Buffalo. A running back spot at some point needs to be addressed, and there's some depth at that spot. There's no running back taken until the third round, likely, which is going to push guys into the fifth, sixth, seventh round it can play. So we get into a Blake Corum coming out of Michigan, a Jalen Wright coming out of Tennessee. Where does Jonathan Brooks go off the ACL on November 11th against TCU, running back out of Texas? Really good back. Would have been a solid second rounder. How far down does he drop, right? You think about a guy like Trey Benson at Florida State, and that 4-3-9 can catch the ball out of the backfield. There's a lot of running backs that are going to get pushed down a little bit because I don't think a running back will come off the board maybe until round three. So that's a position that they will address at some point, the New York Giants.
It won't be the second overall pick. I'll tell you that, Mel.
That much is safe.
Nope.
You can bet that one for sure.
Yep, won't be the second overall pick. They're going to be pushing them down and pushing them down and pushing them and pushing them further down. You know, listen, we all know it. Every Giant fan understands it. You have no weapons.
None.
No weapons. And the one weapon you had is gone.
Yep.
And listen, I have so much respect for Mel Kiper, but Mel, give me a break with this Daniel Jones cheerleading stuff. Stop.
Yeah, it's nobody's first choice. And if the Giants had a way to get out of it, they would. But it seems like that things are moving against them to land a quarterback in the opening round.
Yep.
And that might be the best. Sometimes the best thing that happens to you is the thing you don't want to have happen to you. And this might be the best thing for the Giants, not to have a quarterback on the board at that sixth pick. Yep. And they go and they start either a skill position player. Maybe it's it's another tackle because of the issues with Evan Neal, and you put him at right tackle and you hopefully solve that situation for the foreseeable future. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you I know all the ins and outs of all these players and who's going to turn out to be the best one overall down the road. But I know if you put a quarterback, any quarterback, in the situation the Giants have, without a number one receiver, without a surefire tight end, with the offensive line that they've had, the running situation that they've got, nobody's going to be successful.
No. No. But unfortunately for Daniel Jones, and this is my philosophy, Gordon, I stick with it, the things he could control, he has not done a good job controlling them.
Nope.
Okay? He's turned the ball over too much. He's gotten better. He's not available. That has not gotten better. Some of that is because of the offensive line. Some of that is just, you know, his bad luck. But the bottom line here is, you know, if I'm paying for a franchise quarterback, it's got to be available. It's got to be available.
Well, here's the thing for Daniel, but here's the thing for Daniel Jones. Here's a last chance. Here's your last chance. And he's had some last chances before, right? When they turned down the fifth-year option, it certainly seemed that entire year, well, this is going to be the last shot for Daniel Jones, and then after this year, you're going to draft a quarterback, and he comes out, he plays his best year.
Yes.
If you're going to get anything out of Daniel Jones moving forward, you have to build up that supporting cast. And I think a receiver at six, hopefully the first receiver off the – you got your pick of the litter.
That's right.
At six, because it seems like the Chargers at five, they're going offensive line, and if the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4 – sometimes you got to zig where everybody else zags.
That's it.
I think that that's what you have to do here. You have to go. You can't force it. And the one thing I would say that the Giants absolutely cannot do, they can't get into that bidding war to think, hey, we got to move up to four.
No.
And trade away future picks. Oh, no. God, that would be a disaster.
No, can't do it. You're rebuilding. Remember that. You're rebuilding.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, look, I talk to John every day. I talk to my staff every day. Look, every year there's a self-evaluation process that goes on, whether I was a position coach, a coordinator, in this case a head coach. You know, I'm a very passionate person, but yeah, there's times where I wish I handled things a little bit differently, certainly. So you continue to grow, you continue to evolve, and that's what I try to do every year.
Brian Daboll, Gordon, answering the question about John Mara, making things say, you know, maybe do you need to watch how your demeanor is on the sidelines going forward there, Coach?
It's a perfect example of beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, he acted the same way both years. The first year, the Giants were winning.
Yes.
And it started with that opening game when he went right up to Daniel Jones and was yelling in his face and everything else. And they won that game. Oh, look at it. That's the fire that we need, Larry.
Holding people accountable.
Holding people accountable. He's got passion. He's got energy. This is the guy who can connect with the modern player.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all those same things the next year. He's out of control. He's lost the room, Larry. He's burning people out.
Yes, it is.
It's all based on wins and losses.
It is. It always is. It always is. Coach, what happened with you and Wink Martindale?
Every year is a different year. New changes. Excited to have Shane. I think Shane's done a great job since he's been here. The coaches that we've had on staff, those guys have really meshed well together. And I know they're excited for a couple of weeks to get the players back.
Do you regret how that situation played out?
Yeah, look, every year, every season's different. Every situation's different. Looking forward to this season.
Same thing. Oh, Wink was great. We love Wink when we were winning. Oh, the defense was just outstanding. Mm-hmm. How they held teams close, and then we'd find a way to win late, final drive or something of that nature. Last year, you know, Wink, the defense wasn't that great last year, you know. We need to do some other stuff. Unbelievable.
I will say this.
Yes.
For Dable's sake, he better be a whole lot more like year one than year two.
There's no doubt about
that. In terms of
the
results.
You are correct.
Because we know, Larry, if year two, or excuse me, if year three looks like year two, there will not be a year four.
Nope. There will not be. At least not for him.
No, not for him.
Shane will be here.
Yeah, probably. Although, I mean, at what point are we going to start talking about Joe Shane and some of the moves that he's made?
Yeah, but I just don't. You know how they hate the Giants. Hate to get rid of they hate to fire people in the front.
I hear you, but I mean, why are the Giants in the position that they are in?
Because they hate to fire people in the front office.
I think bringing back Daniel Jones and signing him to that contract rather than franchising him—that's a big one.
Yeah, I agree.
And in terms of the draft, two drafts in, and he's had some high picks.
Yeah.
Thibodeau might be a real piece.
Yeah, it looks good.
Evan Neal?
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. We'll see what happens. Well, Gordon, this is going to be interesting two nights for the New York Knicks. They start that road trip.
Mm-hmm.
They will be in Toronto tomorrow night. We will be in for Dan Grass at 6:30 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Leading you into Knick pregame, and then afterwards we will break it down like a fine powder of the Knicks and Raptors. And this is an interesting game. Cleveland is playing Charlotte. So the Knicks, you know, if Charlotte can, you know, whip some magic and the Knicks win a game, the Knicks, Gordon, could be in the third seed by the time we hit the air tomorrow night.
That's the way you draw it up. Now we just have to see if they're able to pull it off.
That's right. All right. Be good on the updates. I'll see you tomorrow night, my friend.
Sounds good, Larry.
That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We thank you very much for joining us. Harvey, Joe, thank you, as always, for your great work. Remember, you still have time to vote for the GOAT Madness. You still have time. You know the emails and the X handles. You go out and vote. We'll see you tomorrow night on 98.7 ESPN.